Good morning, brethren. I believe it's already been a very good Lord's Day, don't you? We're happy Christians who've been led by an expert song leader, Ron, and some of the songs that we've sung this morning. We've heard prayers that have been offered to God. A couple of the prayers were offered by the same man. Did you notice that, Brother Armstrong? Prayers that have been offered to God, and we know God hears our prayers, and He's going to answer them at His own time, in His own way. So we've already been blessed. I appreciated the remarks that were made before we ate the Lord's Supper this morning. I believe that I almost feel like, why don't I just sit down right now? Because we heard a wonderful lesson in those remarks by that brother. And then we ate the Lord's Supper, which reminded us once again of our Lord Jesus, who died on the cross as a sacrifice to atone for our sins. We had a good report from one of your missionaries about the work of God going on in Nigeria. And I know after the morning service, I think this potluck meal is for everybody, including visitors. That would be me. And new members, I think, is who it's for. But I'm not sure that everybody's invited, but I hope you are. And I'm going to go. And not only all of that, part of the reason it's been a good day for me is, did you see this nice watch that one of the members in the congregation gave me? My habit, well, it's not yours, Foy. Well, somebody set a watch right here. I don't know who did that. I was thinking it was Foy or somebody who knew Foy. After Bible class, when I borrowed Foy's watch, I still had it at the back of after class, and I said, oh, I need to get this watch back to Foy. And some sister in the congregation was walking out, and she said, you better keep that watch for your sermon. And it is kind of hard to get me to wind down sometimes. But Foy, that's not your watch. Somebody who put that watch there needs to tell me, or I'll go home to Norman with it today. And it is a nice watch, and it looks like yours, Foy. Thank you, brethren. I'm very happy and very pleased this morning to be with you here at Bridgewood, not only to give you a report during Bible class time about God's work that's going on in Nigeria, West Africa, and to try to give you a brief update about the three Nigerian preachers that you all are supporting, Mundi John Akpakpan in Akwa Ibom State, Herbert Chukwu in Enugu State, and Sylvester Imogo in Edo State. And I'll have more to say about those men with the elders later today when they meet at 2:30 and following. I'll be with them for a while in that meeting and be able to tell them more. But not only am I happy to have been here for that, but I'm really happy this morning to have the opportunity in place of your usual preacher, Brother Ed McGecky, or as Ed told me, he said, if you'll growl a little bit in Ed McGecky, he said, it's closer to the pronunciation. There's Ed. But I appreciate the opportunity in his place to preach the Word of God to you this morning. And you already know that the topic that I have chosen to preach this morning is entitled, Support Our Missionaries. And you'd think that that would be easy for me to preach on that subject because I do receive financial support from you all. And I'm very grateful for that support. But the fact is, I've only claimed to be a pretend missionary. I've never said over the years that I'm a real missionary. And there's a difference between a pretend missionary and a real missionary. The pretend missionary like me, well, we go to a foreign country and we stay a short time. And then when that time is up, we hightail it back here to America, to our homes, to first world order of things that go on in this country, to our family and friends and culture. While I'm over there in Nigeria, I do my best as I can to spread the saving gospel of Jesus Christ to Nigerians. And then when I'm back here in the U.S., I still continue to do the same things. And so I guess a better title for my sermon this morning, and I thought of it about Friday, and it was too late for me to get it to UDIT to put in your bulletin. A better title for the sermon this morning probably would have been a Support Our Missionaries and Our Pretend Missionaries, because that's really what I am. Surely one of the greatest strengths about the Bridgewood Church of Christ would be her interest in and support of foreign evangelism, which we often refer to as mission work. And I'm sure that the Bridgewood congregation has a big heart for mission work, a special concern for mission work. Mission work is important to you. And I believe that if I were to ask the elder, Marvin Balch, who seems to be the elder who mostly is responsible for taking care of the bookwork on your records here in this congregation, I'm pretty sure that if I were to ask Marvin this morning, Marvin, what is the percentage of this congregation's annual collection that is spent on mission work? Marvin would be able to tell you that figure. And I believe that's because this eldership has a big heart for and a special concern for mission work, and that is commendable. God is pleased with a congregation who has elders who are concerned about doing mission work. And I'm sure that without any hesitation whatsoever, if your elders could put more of your contributions into mission work, they would do so without hesitating. I truly believe that that is the mindset of this eldership, which I think makes this congregation's greatest strength her interest in and support of mission work. I believe we owe a debt of gratitude to our missionaries. The work that missionaries do is essential. Their willingness to leave their homes and their culture, their willingness to endure hardship on occasions, their willingness to spend and be spent, as the Apostle Paul phrased it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15, that phrase, spend and be spent on behalf of Christ, that is to be lauded by the rest of us. God bless our missionaries. Whoever they are, whoever it is that you all support here at the Bridgewood congregation, God bless them. The Bridgewood Church of Christ is not, and I repeat that word, not. This congregation is not a social club. We are social as Christians. We do have a great fellowship with one another and as a group, but the Lord's church here is uniquely the pillar and the ground, the pillar and the support of God's truth, as is stated in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And every local church of Christ scattered throughout God's world is to be God's pillar and support and ground of His truth. Because it's God's truth that frees people from their sins. Isn't that what Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32? When God's word is preached and it's taught and people hear it and some receive it and others of that group will faithfully obey it, they receive the remission of their sins through Jesus Christ. The sad fact is, as we sit here this morning, almost everybody in this world, about 7.3 billion souls, almost everybody in this world are lost because of their sins. And they're going to suffer everlasting punishment away from the face and presence of God in the next life if they don't get forgiveness of their sins before they die physically. Enter the Lord's church, the pillar and the ground of the truth. The purpose of the Lord's church is to teach the word. It's to preach the gospel. It's to speak a good word for Jesus. It's to live a sincere Christian life for the rest of the world to see what it's like to be a Christian. We must preach the gospel of Christ in our world, for we, the church, are the only institution on this earth who are commissioned by Jesus to do so. We quote Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, where Jesus said to the apostles, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes that gospel and is baptized shall be saved. But he who disbelieves that gospel shall be condemned." The people of Nigeria, West Africa, they need the gospel of Jesus. No, they don't need it any worse than any other nation in this world, but they do need it at least as much as any other nation. And that work of God that is going on in Nigeria, West Africa, which you support me, and you support those three Nigerian evangelists who are among the most influential of preachers in their areas in Nigeria, is what I represent to you today and report about to you today. And it's because of you. And the support that you give me makes me be determined to try and be a living, breathing example of genuine Christianity for the Nigerian people. When I am in Nigeria, I teach the word and I preach the gospel. And there's no difference in that at all. But I try to live as good of an example of a Christian life that I know how to live. I even suffer a little bit. And I experience some hardship, And you know that my work is essential. And I know that you love me and appreciate me. I know that you want to hear about the victories that I have on the mission field. I know you want to hear about the defeats that I have on the mission field. I know that you will rejoice with me when I'm rejoicing about some of the things that happen in the work of Christ in Nigeria. And I know that you'd weep with me if I were weeping about some of the things that happened in Nigeria as well. I know that you are my co-workers because you financially support me in this work. And so to stay in touch a little bit with what's going on in God's work in Nigeria and with me, you invite me to come to Bridgewood from time to time and give you a report, even though I'm really no more than a pretend missionary. Having come here to Bridgewood from time to time, that is a good thing. It's good for you and it's good for me. Now from this sermon, what I want to do is direct your attention to this short one chapter book in the New Testament that you and I know as 3 John. Because I believe in 3 John, this book is about missionaries and about Christian-minded Christians who are supporters of missionaries. It's in 3 John that I believe that we can learn something of the way that supporters of missionaries should send out their missionaries. First, I want to give you an overview of 3 John. Just like 2 John, 3 John is written by somebody who identifies himself as the elder. And the style and content of 3 John is similar to the style and content of 1 John and 2 John, which are thought by scholars to have been written by the Apostle John. And having read a little bit over the years, I'm convinced that John the Apostle is the one who wrote, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 3 John. John is older in age at the time of his writing 2 John and 3 John. And so he introduces himself in these letters as the elder. Now John mentions three men in this letter of 3 John. The names are Gaius and Diotrephes and Demetrius. And Gaius is the good Christian to whom 3 John is written. Diotrephes is nothing short of a bad Christian. And Demetrius, he may have been a missionary and or the possible messenger of John's letter to Gaius. Now certain brethren, as you read through the book, who've been engaged in evangelistic work, more specifically mission work, they were well known to the Apostle John. These men had gone to preach the gospel of Christ and they had visited the congregation of which Gaius is a member. And apparently they made it known, at least to Gaius and some others from the reading of the 3 John, they had made it known that they were in need of assistance in their mission work. They definitely and truly were working in behalf of the name, as it said in verse 7. That is, they were working on behalf of Christ and His message and His work. The beloved Gaius, who was evidently very near and dear to the Apostle John, Gaius had graciously received these missionary brethren and he had provided assistance to them. But there is a dictator in that congregation where Gaius was a member, and the dictator's name is Diotrephes. And Diotrephes did not receive these missionary brethren. Diotrephes didn't want to have anything to do with them or their mission work. And worse than that, not only refusing to provide assistance and approve of these missionaries and their work, he did everything that he could to keep the other brothers and sisters in that congregation of which he was a part from helping those missionaries. And it looks like he threatened and actually practiced disfellowshipping those members in the church who did help these missionaries and their works. And then the third man who's mentioned in 3 John is Demetrius. And better Bible students than me think that Demetrius was the best known and perhaps the leader of that group of missionaries who had visited the church where Gaius and Diotrephes were members. Demetrius is highly commended by the Apostle John in verse 12 as we see John admitting that he knows Demetrius and he knows about the work that Demetrius does. Read verse 12 quickly there. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness of Demetrius, Gaius, know that our witness is true. You know that. We learn from verses 9 and 10 that the Apostle John had already written a letter to the church where Gaius was a member, and it was a letter on behalf of those missionaries, but Diotrephes suppressed the letter, and maybe he had destroyed it. Diotrephes failed to respect the letter and authority that the Apostle John had as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Diotrephes refused to honor the authority that John had, and he refused to receive these missionary brethren. That was a law that Diotrephes had come up with, his own law, and that other brethren in the congregation, like Gaius, could not and must not provide assistance to those missionaries either. If they did so, they would be disfellowshipped. The missionaries had returned from that area of work, and they had reported to John what had taken place. Evidently, the missionaries were planning to go back to that same area and work for Christ again where Gaius was. And so John writes this letter to Gaius, we call it 3 John, to encourage Gaius and to commend Demetrius and Gaius and to stress the worthiness of those missionaries and to severely rebuke Diotrephes. John mentions that he might possibly get to visit Gaius and this church personally, and at that time, he would deal with Diotrephes. John says that he wants to see Gaius and speak with Gaius face to face very soon. Now, just because I can, since I have the floor, I want to read to you 3 John. It's 15 verses long, and I'll read quickly, but I want you to hear this, especially since I bought a new Bible at Mardell's the other day. They had them on sale for half price a couple of Saturdays ago, and I was around. And I have a new American Standard Bible that I want to read 3 John to you from. By the way, the brother who read 3 John 1 through 8 did an excellent job. Listen to 3 John quickly. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers, and they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men, so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either. And he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, and we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write to you, but I'm not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we'll speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Now, in this letter, again, John mentions 3 Christian men by name: Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. A Nigerian preacher that I know has called these 3 men of 3 John godly Gaius, diabolical Diotrephes, and dependable Demetrius. And I think he has summed up their character pretty well, don't you? There's a number of lessons that are ours for the taking from 3 John, but I'm only going to share two of them with you this morning. And one of the lessons can be expressed by me very quickly, and the other lesson will take just a little bit longer. But I want to share these 2 lessons with you this morning. And the first lesson I want to share with you is this. As a congregation, You need to just keep on doing what is right according to God's word, regardless of criticism, regardless of threats, and regardless of opposition that may arise from even some in the church and certainly from the outsiders. This is stated so clearly in the context of 3 John, and it's summed up in verse 11 well, I believe, as John says, "Beloved," he's talking to Gaius, "don't imitate what is evil. You imitate what is good." John is telling Gaius, "Gaius, you just keep on doing those things that are good and right, just like you have been doing. And it doesn't matter if Diotrephes is criticizing you and threatening you and opposing you and maybe even trying to disfellowship you. You just keep on doing what is right according to the truth of God's word." And the lesson for us today, of course, is, brethren, nobody in the church, nobody in any local congregation ought to be dictating to the rest of the members of the congregation. Certainly the preacher has some God-given authority as he preaches, and certainly the elders of the congregation are the ones who have God-given authority, but even they are not authorized to dictate their will to the church. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3, Peter, who was a co-elder, he commands the elders that he's writing to in those five Roman provinces of Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 1 through 3, he commands those elders not to lord it over their flock. The local congregation of God is not to be run by some dictator type of guy like Diotrephes. And if it is, then the rest of us in the congregation are simply sinning when we bow down to the dictator's dictates of false teaching. Keep doing what is right, brethren, according to God's truth, regardless of criticism, regardless of threats, regardless of opposition from others in the congregation. I believe that's a great lesson that needs to be received and practiced by congregations of God's people today. Then the second lesson that I mentioned that I want to share with you, and it'll take seven or eight minutes to present this, and then the entire sermon will be yours. But here's the lesson that I want to share with you. This letter, I believe, shows the Christian way that a congregation is to send out their missionaries. I believe 3 John shows a congregation the way that a congregation is to send out our missionaries, whether they are pretend missionaries or real missionaries. In 3 John verse 6, Gaius is the Christian who is obviously mission-minded. And he's willing to help Christian missionaries accomplish their work for Christ. The work that missionaries of Christ have to do is to teach and preach His gospel, so that people who hear the gospel might respond appropriately, so that their soul can be cleansed from their sins, they can get right with God. Gaius, as a Christian, he was not among those who were traveling for the sake of the name. That is, he wasn't a missionary himself. But as a Christian, he knew he had a talent or talents to use for God. And the fact is, every single Christian in a local body of Christ have talents that they are supposed to be using for God's work. And so Gaius used his talent to assist those who were missionaries. Like Gaius, as members of a local congregation, we need to do the same thing. Even if we don't go where our missionaries go. Even though you don't go with me to Nigeria, even though you don't even go over to Nigeria, that's all right. Send out your missionaries and support them as they ought to be supported. Notice carefully 3 John verse 6, where the Apostle John says about Gaius that the missionaries, he's talking about the missionaries, Gaius, they have testified to your love before the church. You, Gaius, will do well to send them on their way in a manner that is worthy of God. And right there, brethren, is a Greek word that I want to discuss for just a couple of minutes. That word is propempsos. That's how I say it. It might be incorrect, but it seems to me with the markings and everything, it's propempsos. And that word propempsos and its forms, verb and so forth, that are used in our translations, in my New American Standard Bible and in the NIV that some of you might use, that word propempsos in verse 6 is translated, send them on their way. And the American Standard Bible translates the word, set them forward on their journey. While the King James translates propimpsos in verse 6 as, bring them forward on their journey. Now this Greek word propimpsos and its forms is a small word, but I know that it presents great ideas of what it means to send out a missionary. And as you begin to look at the use of propimpsos elsewhere in our New Testaments, we see this word used in Acts chapter 20 and in Acts chapter 21. And both occasions have to do with the missionary Paul. In Acts chapter 20, he's with the elders of Ephesus at Miletus. And in Acts chapter 21, he's with Christians from Tyre in Syria. And in both of those occasions, he's leaving brethren that he's never going to see their face again. The elders from Ephesus and brethren from the city of Tyre. The elders from the congregation of Ephesus, they accompany Paul to the ship that Paul is going to set sail from. Propimpsos is the word used there. They accompany Paul to that ship that he was sailing from. The brethren of Tyre in chapter 21, they know that Paul is going to face great dangers by going back to the city of Jerusalem, which has been mentioned in the context. And there, they escort Paul until he's out of town. Escort, propimpsos. They escort Paul until he's out of town and near the ship that he's going to sail on. And there, at the beach, they bow down and pray together, saying farewell to one another. In each of those two cases, Acts chapter 20, verse 38, and Acts chapter 21, verse 5, this Greek word propimpsos, or a form of it, in relation is used in relation to a missionary, and it has to do with an honor escort. Those brethren knew that they had a missionary of God in their midst. And so they treated that missionary as if they were with a very important visitor. They escorted him. They accompanied him part of the way to his destination as a sign of honor and respect and affection. But not only is this Greek word propimpsos used this way, the word also carries the meaning of providing the necessary means to travel. And I'm told in the Greek dictionaries that this word propimpsos and its forms mean to help someone on his trip with money, arrange companions, transportation, and so forth. And so we're seeing that this idea of propimpsos, sending out our missionaries, carries with it the idea of furnishing them necessary things that they need for the journey, as well as personal participation, honoring, and so forth. Titus chapter 3, verse 13 is another place where this word propimpsos is used. Paul is asking Titus to, my translation says, diligently help Zenas and Apollos on their travel. Diligently help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way so that nothing is lacking for them. So that nothing is lacking for them is a good indication that accompany and escort were not only involving pointing out the way and escorting, but it also meant that the church at Crete, where Titus was preaching, should give food and transportation and money and whatever else those two missionary workers, Zenas and Apollos, needed so they could make their journey successful to where the Apostle Paul was. Just a couple of more references. Romans 15, verse 24. Paul mentions to the church at Rome that he wants to be helped on his way. He wants to be propimpsos. He wants to be accompanied. He wants to be escorted to Spain. Here's what the verse says in my translation, the NASB. Whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and to be helped on my way there by you when I've enjoyed your company first for a while. You know what that means? Paul wanted them to help him financially and with human resources, perhaps food for his journey and so forth, providing the necessary means to travel. The same Greek word is used and the ideas presented are the same in Romans chapter 16, verse 6 and verse 11 and 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16. Paul was a missionary And he was going from place to place. And he needed the local congregations to be involved in providing the means for him and his co-workers to make those missionary trips. Brethren, I believe that this word propempsos is a word that tells us a great deal how we, as members of a local congregation, just like Gaius was, are to send out and support our missionaries today. It is necessary to send out our missionaries with honor and respect and affection as they go to their mission field. It is necessary to foot the bill for sending missionaries to do their work. The fact of the matter is, the most noble use that any one of us as members of a local congregation can get from our money is to put that money into missionaries and mission works. It is necessary to be personally involved with missionaries that we send out. And to your credit, I believe you are. I don't know everywhere where you help missionaries and mission points, but I know that one of your elders, Bob Milligan, goes down to the Caribbean to that mission point in the Dominicans. And you have me come here and talk about Nigeria. And a couple of years ago, we had two of the Nigerians, Money Jonik Pokpon and Silvestri Mogo, visit with your eldership. And maybe that'll happen again in June when Silvestri Mogo and Sandra Imogo may get their visa to come to the U.S. We'll know something about that later this week. But you keep up on those mission points, and I'm sure the others as well. And that's to your credit. Anything we do for missionaries ought to be done, according to 3 John verse 6, in a manner that is worthy of God. Now, that's what the text says, and I don't know how to make it any more outstanding to you than just kind of shout out the name God. Our responsibility is to send out missionaries in a manner that is worthy of God. That's what the Apostle John is saying here. Their works need to be assisted with generosity that is in keeping with the grace of God. May God give you, brethren, the heart to keep making missions and missionaries a priority here in your local work at the Bridgewood Church of Christ. Because the work of a missionary is essential. And we do well when we send them out on their way to their mission points in a manner that is worthy of God. And those are the couple of lessons. There are others that I wanted to present to you today from 3 John. Well, if there's anybody here from our community, and you are here today because you've been hearing the gospel call, and God calls through His gospel, according to 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. Members in this congregation whom you know as a visitor, they hopefully have been sharing something of the gospel of Christ to you. And if you've been hearing it and yet you've not yet responded appropriately, we have an opportunity for you to do so now. How you respond to the gospel of Christ is, as you've listened to it, believe in Jesus. Who He was, who He said He was, what He taught, and what He did at the cross of Calvary, and how He was raised from the dead after being buried in the tomb. Believe that. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus, and then be water baptized. We're going to sing an invitation song, Rescue the Perishing. I forget the number, but as that song is being sung, we'll be standing. And if you need to and want to respond to the gospel of Christ, come forward and you'll be asked to make a confession of faith in Jesus before this congregation. And then one of the elders, or Ed McGecky, the preacher, and John McKenzie, a preacher, they're here. Someone will baptize you into Christ. If you need to ask for the prayers of the congregation as well, please feel forward to do that as together we stand to sing this invitation song. Ron?